Numbers 1 and 10. We're going to have the director of the Information Technology Services Office, Mark Dustman, come up and join the discussion. I appreciate you on short notice coming to before our subcommittee or our committee again, and I think we'll have a staff also who are experts on the land-WAN issue. We had a discussion about this at the last meeting. There was some concern about the information that was available, and there was some tasks assigned to Mark and staff about evaluating the ability to sort of expand this. There are four courts that don't participate now. We have additional needs. There was funding that was deferred. And so Mark is going to make a few comments about the issues number 1 and 10, which deal with basically land, WAN costs, local area networks, wide area networks, our connectivity within the branch.
Thank you, Zlatko. Thank you, Judge Earl and committee members. Actually, I'm going to defer to Sherry and Judge Chernacosta for direction on which of the two assignments. So we have provided the committee both a five-year budget for adding four courts, Alpine, Los Angeles, Orange, and San Diego to the land-WAN program, which had not participated in the past. And the second assignment we received was to look at alternatives to spreading the existing allocation for that program across 58 courts. So would you like me to cover the first one first? Okay, so the question came before the subcommittee the last time they met about what it would cost to add those four courts to the land-WAN program, and this was an issue of statewide funding source benefiting all courts. And so we had the number for the current budget year, but we hadn't had enough time at that committee meeting to provide a five-year look. And we went back and did that. So in your materials, you'll see the land-WAN program five-year budget for adding those four courts. And you know, just to remind this committee, that this program is based on a staggered deployment. So the program started about 10 or 12 years ago, and as courts were deployed in different fiscal years after the beginning of that, as the equipment reaches the end of its useful life, it is refreshed. And so they are refreshed on a staggered basis because of how they were implemented in the first place. So this program has a budget that goes up and down depending upon what equipment has reached its end of useful life in that particular fiscal year. So if you look at the page that shows the chart that has the cost for 13 fiscal year, 13-14 through fiscal year 2017, page 52, thank you, Judge, you'll see that, as we explained to the subcommittee last time we met, the a cost for adding those courts in the current fiscal year would be $3.458 million, and over the life of the 5 years would be $13.554 million. The methodology we used was the same methodology we used for all the other courts in replacing, in which equipment to replace in those courts. We worked individually with each of those courts to determine, you know, what their current inventory was and which equipment was meeting the criteria for replacement. We, for Alpine, which was a little bit more unusual circumstance, they were physically unable to participate in this program because of the historic nature of their building not allowing for the sufficient power and cooling to actually have modern network equipment. That has been remedied by the county, or is being remedied by the county now. So basically what we do for Alpine and what we estimated here is the complete land-WAN implementation for them from the beginning. It's not a refresh. It's a complete design of a network for them. Were there any questions on that particular? So this is unfunded, and it would. This is, you know, part of the dilemma that the subcommittee was trying to wrestle with, because it would, you know, it's adding an expenditure when we're trying to, you know, balance the books and reduce the expenditures in that particular fund.
Which is why we ask you to
part two. So a good segue into the second request that the committee made, which was, you know, if you had, and I think that the item number 10 is not exactly what we did. My impression was that we would take the preliminary recommendation of the subcommittee, which was to add the $6 million to the $8 million, which was the base for that, to cover the 55 courts completely, and that we would figure out how to spread that budget. So it's spreading $15.6 million, not 11, which is what's in the materials you have. So, and I don't know what page number that is, Judge.
It's 42.
42, but for the actual analysis that we did, page 59.
58
or 50. So what we did is we looked at taking the total amount that if the recommendation number one, preliminary recommendation number one, were approved, added to the base for this particular program, how could we spread that funding out in a way that made sense to benefit all 58 courts? And we have... it was challenging, I will say that right off the top, but we have provided four alternatives that talk about that. The first one is really not to change the existing methodology, because if you'll look at page 60, thank you, that shows alternative one's benefits, a number of the courts actually end up benefiting from this. So we get up to... 55 of the courts benefiting from the current program, because Orange today, one of the courts that isn't in the official program, does benefit from the security monitoring program that's in place as part of this particular program, and also benefit partially from the maintenance agreement. So the master maintenance agreement, which pays for that, the maintenance of that security equipment. So the cost of that won't change. Obviously, the pros of that are, you know, it keeps us on track with the courts that have been doing this program for some time. It reduces the operational impact that these courts may face if their equipment failed. Local court budgets are not impacted, and the local court resources needed, meaning the network resources, the people that are actually doing the work in the local courts, would be impacted minimally. The con, of course, is that it doesn't really meet the objective that the committee was looking for us to do, which was to somehow figure out how to add Los Angeles, Orange, San Diego, and Alpine into this mix. And the table underneath of that shows the cost for each of the components. And and the only note I would make on that is where it talks about the $2.1 million for the master maintenance agreement for 55 courts. It says Orange does benefit. As I said earlier, Orange did participate in getting the security monitoring intrusion detection equipment installed. So that equipment is covered, and the court does benefit under that master services agreement, master maintenance agreement. The second alternative would take the funding and prioritize what we call core switches, routers, and wireless devices, and a percentage of the closet switches. So this is where we kind of dissemble the program as it stands today. To be able to cover the four additional courts, we have to figure out what to drop from the program, because the money is the budget is the budget, and we're trying to stretch it a little bit further. In this case, a good bit further. We think that alternative makes sense in that the core switches and security devices are the ones that, if they fail, would cause the greatest level of risk and disruption to court operations. So that's why those are listed highest. Why we took the second group here, which was replacing the routers and wireless controllers over the closet switches, which you'll see in a moment, we're only covering a percentage of those, is that benefits the largest number of courts. So we pick something that would benefit the largest number of courts. 51 of the 58 courts would benefit from replacing the wireless controllers and the routers. And the last part of this is we would only cover a prorated amount of the closet switches that need to be replaced, and the courts would have to fund the remainder of that themselves. So that's the downside of this. This would benefit 51 of the 58 courts immediately. Eventually, if this program were continued on, it would eventually benefit all 58 courts. It does include Alpine, Los Angeles, Orange, and San Diego. The cons of it are that the courts are responsible for a percentage of the cost of the equipment, which they have not been in the past. If courts don't replace what they need to replace, they are vulnerable to security breaches and network outages. They would have to budget for this annually. This is not a one-time thing. This is an ongoing responsibility that the courts would have. Courts would have to have local resources. So today, the program provides the network expertise necessary to manage the project and to replace the equipment as it needs to be replaced. Under this scenario, it would do so for the things covered under the program, but for the court pieces, they would need to be responsible for figuring out how to get staff or network expertise to replace that percentage of the closet switches for which they would be responsible under this particular alternative. And the table below that shows that it evens out, and we use essentially a plug figure for the percentage of the closet switches, which we would have money for if you add in the cost of adding the four courts. Does anyone have any questions on that alternative?
I had a question. Do you have an idea when you talk about that the courts might have to pay an additional cost or money out of their own budget to cover some of this? Do you have an idea of what approximate cost would be?
Yes. It's the difference between...
It's a prorated.
It would be prorated. So if you're asking individual courts, we don't know at this moment. We didn't do that analysis. But if you want to know the total cost, it's the difference between fully funding this program for the 54 courts plus the four, which was the additional $3.6 million. It is the $3.6 million for this year that we're trying to find a home for. So that's the difference in cost here.
Wouldn't it be fair to say, though, that it would also depend on the condition of the court, and each court may choose to extend, may choose to replace at end of support, not end of life. They might leave it in a little longer. So, right?
Well, these were all at end of support.
Okay,
end
so support. Then so, the court may still take a risk.
Yes, so that is the con here, is if they don't replace things that are end of support, they take on a risk that, you know, could, as we talked about in the subcommittee, could... migrate to the other courts. From a security perspective, we talked about the weakest link theory that if you have someone in the link that is not as secure as everyone else and we're all talking together, then you represent a risk to everybody. The idea behind this, which we did not get into that level of detail, would be to say, we know that we need to replace X number of these closet switches. And based on that total number, and we know which courts they would be in, we would use that as the prorating factor, right, Mo?
Thank you. Just to give you an idea, as Judge Tertacosta pointed out, instead of $5 million that's budgeted for those closet switches, we would only have roughly $1.5 million left for those. So that $1.5 would have to be prorated across the courts.
Correct.
The remainder would be the court's responsibility.
I believe Mary Beth had a question.
Do you contemplate the courts would be totally on their own, or is this something you might oversee and we would reimburse for the services of these replacements?
So right now, without a budget, we don't have a reimbursement process. So we would have to eliminate those those resources from our program, and the courts would, I mean, we would continue to provide any kind of consultative services we could, but the courts would need to do it on their own because it's no longer funded by the program.
I have a question. What about those few courts that are managed courts and have no tech staff?
That would be SIC. That's the SEIC courts, the mm-hmm. CCTC courts. So are they would also need to have network resources as well, right? Because that's...
Right, and we rely on SEIC for those resources
So that would be included in their contract?
So there are, so as Debbie's talking about, there are four courts, smaller courts, that rely entirely on the CCTC for all of their technology needs. And so the question was, who would provide that service? And in this case, it would be SAIC through their contract rather than the AOC and the LANWAM program. So alternative number three, I'm sorry, I just
have one more question. It would seem to me that this kind of an approach would give opportunity for some sharing of those resources across the other courts, albeit it might take some time to get that coordinated, but also some master contracts for purchasing equipment at bulk volumes or something. I don't know if that applies.
It's possible if there's administrative overhead to getting that done. Who would do it? How would it be accomplished? It certainly would not provide the level of discount that the branch as a whole would be able to, because it's volume-based. Those kinds of things are volume-based, and you lose part of that by breaking this program up like that. You're right. There's definitely some benefit if this is the approach that's going to be selected, that courts try to work together to gain whatever volume discounts they can. It's just overall, if you look at the total cost of the branch of this approach versus the just to add in the four courts approach, it's going to be more expensive because you're duplicating resources in the courts, the actual physical people that are going to do the work, and you lose part of the master services volume discount because you're forcing courts to go out and do things on their own. So it makes it a little more expensive. Alternative three is similar in that we're still focused on those core switches. You can see the theme here is that we do believe that those core switches, and we would include Los Angeles, Alpine, Orange, and San Diego, those core switches represent the biggest risk to the courts. And in this case, those would be replaced as part of the program. And then we would focus on essentially setting aside a plug number. So we would do everything else. We would do the core switches. We would do the network monitoring. We would do the training. We would do the maintenance. But what we would not do is replacement of all the closet switches and all the other equipment outside of the cores needed for this particular year. And we would set aside that plug figure for looking at new network technologies to enable video technology, enhanced voice over IP, mobile device management, dynamic network access, a number of things that we know that courts are interested in moving forward with but don't have funding for, and we don't have it included as part of this statewide program. The benefits, obviously, we add in the four courts. We mitigate some of the risk by getting the core switches in. We would provide some level of funding to all 58 courts. And courts would have newer branch-wide technology. The biggest con, in my personal opinion, is trying to figure out, what single or group of new technologies would be applicable across all 58 courts and all 58 courts' different platforms, different case management systems, different needs, it would be very difficult to do. And at this point, without, a lot of kind of feasibility study and analysis, we don't know what that is. And we wouldn't be able to forecast, what future costs are until we kind of distill what it is we're doing. So this one, nice idea, in my opinion, and it certainly provides some flexibility out there, but, has all the same cons as before, and the benefits are nebulous at this point. Any questions on that particular one? Now, alternative four, I think, is the closest to Brian's recommendation in the subcommittee, which was, you know, take the existing program and figure out which piece the courts can pay for themselves rather than the statewide fund. And so in this case, we add in the four courts to the refresh, and we focus, again, only on the core technology, because we just don't, no matter how we cut this, we can't replace everything and add these four courts in. And we would also discontinue funding of the maintenance part of the program. So all this equipment gets purchased, and the courts have it running, and they're relying on it. It's essential to them. The $2.1 million of this program pays to maintain that, so that if there's a problem, they call the manufacturer replaces it or repairs it within a predefined service level agreement time, minimizing disruption to court, minimizing risk to security. This program, this particular alternative would say that maintenance amount, 2.1, is now the responsibility of the courts. So that would not come out of the statewide fund. The cons of this are obvious, that you kind of lose the enterprise benefits of a statewide maintenance agreement. The courts are still required to refresh part of their closets and switches. All we're covering is the core. Courts would have the same vulnerabilities that they have under the other two options. And they need to budget for this annually. This would be, again, an ongoing process where we took a component of the program, removed it from statewide funding, and said, okay, courts share in the cost. So they would need to figure out how to budget for that amount each year, which they don't do, which they don't do now. So I do want to point out the table for this one, alternative four table. The title says prioritize core switches and cancel. It's not cancel, it's discontinue state funding for the maintenance program. This would, obviously, you need to maintain the equipment. It's worthless to install without having maintenance on it. So the idea is to discontinue state funding and have the court share in that particular expenditure.
So can I may I ask a question, Judge Earl, since I know it's 3 o'clock? How much is time of the essence to make a decision today? And the reason I ask that is because first of all, I want to tell Mark and his staff how much I appreciate them doing these various options, because I know I really believe that if we are one branch, we should have statewide programs that include all of our courts, big and small. And I want you to know I started this position when I didn't work for Los Angeles. It looks very self-serving now, but I had that position when I worked in Riverside. So I'm wondering, because none of us are technical experts, if we have a month where we could have our CIOs work with the AOC, because they understand our network systems much better than we do. And if that might be, if that month would make it difficult for you, but they could, I think it might be that they could also help come up with some suggestions that perhaps, at least I certainly, I mean, I know which of these options I prefer, but I don't know if anyone in this room feels like they have the expertise to really make a decision today, or if you think that we could have our CIOs work together quickly like they have on some of the master service agreements and other things. I think they would be very willing to do that. That's just a suggestion, and I don't know if that 1 month break would impact your buying power.
So I think it would, Sherry. So the your committee and this committee in the fall, because this is this year's funding,
right?
And we're already at January 16th.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very difficult if we don't get a decision within the next week or so. It would be very difficult to carry out any part of this, because we need to know whether we're moving ahead with the original plan so that we can get those purchase orders and work orders and staff in place to begin that work so that we can make the expenditures in the current fiscal year.
Well, you have through the end of June to make your expenditures.
We have till the end of June to make the expenditures, correct, but we have to be able to get all of that work going, get all the bills of material done, get the final assessments for these courts actually worked on and done and get the courts lined up to say, yes, we will participate before the end of June. And so we typically would have this. We never have it in July. I mean, we know our budget never comes in July, but we typically have it in September, October at the latest. This would be very difficult, you know, beyond a couple weeks for us to wait to do this.
I had I saw hands from Judge Hicks, Mike Roddy, and Judge Cope in that order.
There's another issue that hasn't been brought up, which is if you're seeking to proportionally allocate the cost of these systems now before you've proportionally allocated the funding to pay for them. You're going to have a mismatch between the ability to pay and what's necessary. So you've got to blend that in. I think obviously in the long run, everybody should pay their proportionate cost, but that should be when they have their proportionate allocated share of the funds.
Yeah, I think
isn't there supposed to be some work with the opening that we got in the governor's budget message to work out a funding mechanism for these with the Department of Finance?
So not that I'm aware of, Judge, but your point is very well taken.
It's broad technology, though. They're not diving at this point. Yeah. They're aware of our broad technology strategy, which would be new costs on top of what right. This is, Judge Hicks. So they're not thinking per se about, and they're aware of the expenditures now, but they are aware of our needs as a branch for case management systems. And so those are new costs, not part of this.
Okay. So I think your point, what I would take away is that, you know, from a timing perspective, is that none of the courts are right now, to my knowledge, expecting to have to pay for anything. Mm-hmm. None of them. And if we wait much longer, and that's this year, if we wait much longer, it really does not give courts very much time to figure out how they're going to find funds this year to pay for whatever their share is, whichever option you select, except for option one, which covers all the courts except the four. The other piece of this is, for your information, in case you haven't covered it, Zlatko, is that we are presenting a BCP, a budget change proposal, to the council next week, and that deals with, part of that deals with asking for funding to cover that first part of our assignment, which is adding the four courts in on an ongoing basis. So it would cover not only the immediate need for those courts, but ongoing funding and staffing to keep those courts in the program. So that is in the mix. It does add some complication to your job, I think, but it kind of covers all bases by having that in, knowing that this particular fund is short and courts don't have money to do this. It kind of covers all bases.
Mike Roddy and then Judge Cope.
I agree with Sherry's idea, because we could make a decision and it may be the wrong one. And if we're talking about the best interest of all 58 courts in this very technical area, I would appreciate, as we've used our CIOs before, and our other subject matter experts, their expertise. And frankly, you know, if your committee can do it in 4 weeks, I think we can get our CIOs to do it in less than 2 or 4 months for the WAFM group. We can do this in less than 2 weeks. So if that's the charge, we make it happen. But I'd appreciate that expert information, frankly.
Judge Cope and then Chris Volkers.
I agree with Sherry and Mike. We got these materials last night. I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody about them. I haven't even had a chance to review them because I was traveling last night. These are very technical decisions, and to be put on a spot where we're told we have to make a decision today, I think is highly inappropriate.
Chris Volkers.
I agree with Mike, Sherry, and Judge Cope. I think this is a critically, critically important decision. We weighed this back and forth at the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee. We've talked about it here. We've talked about it at SEAC. And to receive the materials the night before, and again, I was traveling as well. I did not have the information. And there are four very different options. I think it's just too important to quickly make a decision, you know, 2 minutes before the end of the meeting, or in this case, 7 minutes after the end of the meeting. So,
Sean?
Yeah, actually, that ditto to everything everyone has said. I would like to go back to my core and talk to my IT manager and really have an assessment and analysis done. So I concur with everyone's comments.
Mary Beth.
So I agree as well. A few questions to help us, help me at least, as I consider the alternatives. First of all, have any of the tech committees at least even kind of weighed in on any of these?
So no.
Okay.
The tech committee, this has not gone to the tech committee.
Okay.
But it has gone. We have discussed this with the IT managers forum. So your IT managers have weighed in on this. And, of course, their recommendation is no changes to the current program.
Sure.
So they are aware that this is out there, and I agree that you probably need time. From my perspective, the danger that I'm trying to make you aware of is not that it's a complicated and important decision that you need to make, but the requested budget for this was submitted on time at the beginning of this year. And what this committee is looking at is changing a program in the middle of the fiscal year that it's supposed to be working. And so it is going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for the AOC to actually implement a change successfully at this point. That's what I'm trying to
do. So let me ask this next question real quick. So what is the risk of – so let's say we pick one of the alternatives that includes not refreshing certain things, and whatever you talked about exposes us to some risk. What level of difficulty is there then in subsequent years if the funding becomes available again to now bring us back up? What kind of degradation to our systems are we going to experience? Is the risk, minimal, medium, high? Just pick one of those.
We've always said that it's high. It represents security and operations continuity issues for all the courts that are on the program.
Okay.
The other issue is that once you stop a portion of these programs, all of the volume discounts and the master services agreements that we have in place will have to be renegotiated.
Right. Okay. So my
next... We have incredibly good deals right now.
And I agree with that. So my next question maybe is more towards LOTCO. Have we explored at all how we continue with the same program, but we prorate whatever can't be paid for to the court so we continue to get the biggest bang for our buck? And number one, how that would even work, as Mark pointed out earlier, the money's not there now, and so it's not in the budget. And what are we talking about? And then that goes to, now we've got a cost in our budget that's probably was never taken into consideration with WAFM. So these are all sorts of things I think we need to kind of get our head around as we, but I got to hear from my IT people first because I have no idea.
There's one other thing that you should know is that we're going in a hole in IMF, not next year, but the year after. And so I would suggest that it's a two-pronged thing. One, we try to get with our IT people and get back within 2 weeks about what to do this year. But I would like to have them sit down and help structure what it should look like in the future because we can't afford this. And
absolutely. That's why I'm asking these other questions
two pieces.
There's our risk because first let's do no harm if there's any way we can salvage this. But I don't think we have enough information right now.
Right.
Can we hold on just 1 second? Just a matter of housekeeping. For those of you who are planning on taking the shuttle to the Oakland airport, they have to leave at 3:15 because they have a commitment after that. So with that, let me ask this question in terms of timing. I think I hear consensus to defer action on this particular item. The question is one of timing. When can we bring this back? Because we have a council meeting in February where we would take the recommendation.
What date is that?
It is February 20th and 21st.
I will pick on my new CIO to help coordinate the other CIOs. And if he's listening, I apologize. And Michael, help me. So we will do that and try to get them together as quickly as possible.
And then it would have to come back to this body.
Right.
For action before the February council meeting.
Could we do that by phone?
We could try.
Are we back up here in 2 weeks? Are we back up here in 2 weeks?
Some of us.
but I don't know if they would have, the CIOs would have their work done within time for you to have the materials to digest them.
Next 2 weeks.
As Judge Cope mentioned.
Not everyone here is a PJ. Yeah. You're thinking of the PJ CEO meeting, right?
We could have a group of us here, and then we could do it by telephone and have a meeting of this whole group.
On this,
I'm
issue.
Not sure that would put us right at 2 weeks to come back to this committee. And what I'm hearing is maybe the CIOs will need 2 weeks before it comes back to us. Mike?
They're meeting tomorrow. The CIO, they're meeting in Santa Clara tomorrow. Yeah. I wonder if there's any way to get information to them.
Yes, there is. We can. I'd be happy to raise this issue with my CIO, who's, I guess, going to be hosting.
Yeah, Robert.
So we'll be able to make sure that this is given high priority, so that we can be ready.
So is anyone willing to make the motion to defer action on this item until a future date?
Seconded.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So I will, Zlatko and I will communicate with Judge Trent Acosta and Sherry about timing and get back to you. Perfect. I think the suggestion, Sherry, that Judge Wesley made is to maybe perhaps try to address this right around the TCPJAC CEO.
Remind, we're still broadcasting, so please keep your comments directed to your microphones.
If we could somehow address it right around those dates, we will try. I realize we're going to lose some folks who are taking the shuttle, but is there any other matter that anyone wanted to raise before we adjourn? Thank you. We stand.